Good morning. And welcome to worship this morning. Special welcome to all those who are turning in for the first time on the radio station. That's 100.1. Also, too, for those who are tuning in through the internet, if you have internet access, that is also a way to listen in, and you can listen in anywhere in the world where you have internet access. The easiest way to find that live stream is at our website, which is stpaulykt.org. All small letters, no spaces in there. And then there is a link at the bottom of the page that says Shoutcast, and that is what you click on to be able to listen to this worship service. Also provided on that website is a link to the worship bulletin. Everything is included in that worship bulletin, all the liturgy, also all the scripture readings, and also the hymns that are in there. So even if you are listening to the radio and you still have internet access, you are welcome to go ahead and pick that up as well so you can follow along with the worship service. This is new for all of us, and so there may be changes to worship. We will see how all of this plays out. So thank you for tuning in and joining us this morning. Before we begin with our worship service, I have put together a letter just so you know what our schedule is around here at the church and what we are doing. And so if I could have a few moments just to read through this letter with you. This letter will be posted on our Facebook page and then also, too, on our website this week. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to start this message with several quotes. We must pray against every form of evil and guard against it to the best of our ability in order not to act contrary to God. Therefore, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance infect and pollute others, and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, He will surely find me, and I have done what He has expected of me. And so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely, as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it is neither brash nor foolhardy, and does not tempt God. Moreover, he who has contracted the disease and recovered should keep away from others and not admit them into his presence until it be necessary. Though one should aid him in his time of need, as previously pointed out, he in turn should, after his recovery, so act toward others that no one becomes unnecessarily endangered on his account and so cause another's death. Whoever loves danger, the wise man says, will perish by it. What's interesting about these quotes is that they were actually written 500 years ago. They come from a pamphlet or an open letter that Martin Luther wrote in 1527. And even though it was written almost 500 years ago, I think they are still pertinent for today. The bubonic plague hit Europe in the mid-1300s with other outbreaks in the 15th and 16th centuries. Although people at that time did not understand specifically how the disease was spread, that advice and that faith of Martin Luther still holds true today, and it applies in our situation. Whether you think this whole thing is blown out of proportion or not, does not matter. We need to heed the recommendation and mandates of the authorities and avoid contact with one another that is not essential. We need to slow the spread of this disease so that it does not overwhelm our healthcare system. The government cannot close us down because we are a church and we are protected by the First Amendment. But we will still need to comply with the recommendations and mandates for the safety of our community. Therefore, we have made some drastic changes to the way we are carrying out our mission to be followers of Christ. At this time, and I expect more changes to be made to this plan as the situation changes, this is how we will handle our ministry. For meetings, all meetings over 10 people cannot be held in person, and it may be best if smaller groups do not meet in person as well. Use email, phone, various forms of internet platforms such as Facebook, Skype, Zoom, GoToMeetings, etc. to conduct the meetings and announcements. Sunday school and youth activities. All are canceled at this time until we come up with creative ways to continue, and that also includes confirmation classes. Church office. The office will be open to handle phone calls, mail, emails, other correspondence, finances, and all the other things which we normally deal. But we too want to limit person-to-person contact as much as possible. Most business can be handled over the phone or email, and a Dropbox is available in the door next to the office door. Devotional materials, bulletins, announcements, etc. will be available on the table or bulletin board or at the educational building entranceway. Or you may call or email the church office and we can send those to you through email as well. Please call ahead of time if you need person-to-person contact. For pastor, I will be limiting my visits. Nursing homes and hospitals are on lockdown, and I do not want to take unnecessary risk in spreading disease to people's homes. I am still available and willing to make visits or have you come into the office when you need me. Baptisms, weddings, and funerals. Baptisms will still be done in worship, if possible, but the number of family members will need to be limited to 10. Weddings also can be done, but those in attendance will be limited to 10, and at a later date, we can do a larger celebration. Funerals will be graveside only, and at a later date, we can do a memorial service. Fellowship hall rentals. All rentals are suspended at this time, and if they are canceled because of the coronavirus, all money will be refunded. Daycare. The daycare will remain open unless they are mandated to close by the governing agencies. The Learning Garden is considered essential, so parents can go to work. All safety precautions have been put into place as they have been issued by licensing board. New ministry, groceries. Nicholas is volunteering to pick up groceries for people so that they do not expose themselves or others to infection. He will need help as more people ask him to go shopping on their behalf. For more information, contact Nicholas or see his posting on the church Facebook page. And new ministries may start as we see the need or as people bring in creative ideas. Worship. Worship is the center of life of the congregation, and this is where, as a congregation, we will feel the changes the most. All Lenten services are canceled, and so is the Saturday evening worship service. In normal times, worship is the time where we come together to give thanks and praise to God. We come to support one another, and yes, this is important too, to socialize. We are not in normal times, and so we need to think about worship differently. We are blessed and have an opportunity that many other congregations do not have. We have a radio ministry, and we do live stream audio. We plan to make use of that blessing. I encourage you to stay home unless you have a specific part in the worship service. At this time, the doors will not be locked, but if a large crowds are congregating, we may have to make new considerations. Also, I am in conversation with other NALC pastors and the pastors of Yorktown, and we are giving each other new and creative, or maybe even crazy, ideas and ways of doing worship. Our Sunday service is at 9 a.m., and it is broadcast at 100.1 FM, or you can listen to the live stream on the internet. The easiest way to get to the live stream on the church website is at www.stpaulykt.org and click on the link Shoutcast Audio Stream at the bottom of the page. Communication. Please check for changes to the schedule on our Facebook page, and that is St. Paul Lutheran Church, Yorktown, Texas, our website, which I just mentioned earlier, or call the church office, which is 361-564-2135, or you may also call my cell phone, and my cell phone number is on the answering machine if no one is in the office. This is difficult for all of us. We are created to be social creatures. If we work together and heed the mandates, by God's help, we will make it through this. And I would like to leave you with this quote by our bishop, Dan Selbo. I have a long list of concerns related to the coronavirus. I am concerned for the elderly, who are most at risk. I am concerned for the disfranchised and for those on the streets who have no one and nowhere to turn. I am concerned for the loss of reason that seems to have overtaken so many in their personal response to what is truly a communal concern. I am concerned that people are stockpiling supplies they do not need, so much so that those who do need them are not able to find them. I am concerned for our hospitals and our clinics and for the doctors and nurses and the overcrowded emergency rooms that are all being stretched. I am concerned for our economy and for those whose lives will be impacted by the loss of jobs. I am concerned for a long list of things, for these and many more, but I am not afraid. Neither should we, as a church, be afraid. Rather than live in fear, let us together approach this challenge in faith. We have an opportunity to model for our children and for our families and for each other what a faith-filled and faithful response can be. Instead of living in panic and in fear, being reactionary and taking a self-centered response, we have a chance to remain rational and reasoned and to approach this pandemic in a spirit of trust. What I fear more than COVID-19 is that we will not forget who we are and to whom we will belong, and to whom we belong. As a church, we need to take preventative measures and commit ourselves to prayer. We need to rely on the health professionals for advice and entrust our lives to Christ. We need to take full advantage of the resources we have been given and follow the best practices of those who can give helpful and help-giving advice. And then we need to step back and stay centered and remember and remind each other that we belong to Christ. Peace be with you. Are there any questions or any other announcements this morning before we begin worship? Okay. All right, we begin with our gathering hymn, and it is number 104. Thank you.
We begin our worship in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Honor your father and your mother. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not kill. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not commit adultery. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not steal. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his cattle, or anything that is your neighbor's. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them and repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy for the sake of suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor and sinful being. Forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who has made the heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all mercy, by your power to heal and to forgive, graciously cleanse us from all sin and make us strong. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? It is number 98.
Thank you. Our first lesson is from 1 Samuel, chapter 16, 1 through 13. Samuel anointed David, even though he was the eighth oldest son of Jesse, and did not match his brothers in height or other physical characteristics. With the anointing came endowment with the Spirit of the Lord, designating David as the Lord's chosen successor to Saul. I begin the reading with verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint me for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see mortals as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then sent out for Ramah, the word of the Lord. Our psalm today is 23. I think we should read it in unison. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread the table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. Because we now live in the divine light that is Jesus Christ, we conduct our lives in ways that reflect the light of Christ, so that our activity is truly pleasing to God. I begin the reading with verse 8. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try and find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfaithful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention that such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of the Lord.
My song is love unknown.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him." We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the Pharisees to the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "Put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about it? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is now that he can see, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind. And they said to him, "Give glory to God.
"We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do not see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
All right, so if there are any children, if there are any children in our audience, would you please come up for the children's sermon? And Kathy, if there's no children, I'm going to have to borrow you. Perfect, 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 perfect. All right, Kellen and Annie, thank you so much for being here. I need you to do me a favor, take a piece of paper. And that's going to use for later. So right now, I'm going to show you something. And I want you to look at that white space right there. You see that white space? Perfect. Okay, now, I'm going to count to 25. And I want you to stare at this light bulb. Stare at the black part for 25 seconds. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Now I want you to stare at the white thing right there and blink really fast. Blink, 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 blink. Kellen, do you see a light bulb? Annie, did you see a light bulb when you were blinking? Perfect. Now we're going to do one more thing with our eyes. So we're going to play tricks on our eyes. That was trick number one. Trick number two, can you roll up a piece of paper like this and make like a periscope, like you're a pirate and you're looking out to the audience. Here you go. Here you go, Annie. Hold that. All right. So what we're going to do here, we're going to put a hole in our hand. So I want you to look through the paper like this. Look out at the audience. All right, you see your parents? Wave to your parents. Way back there, Mr. Gomert. You see Mr. Gomert? Okay, now I want you to open up both eyes, and with one eye, keep one eye looking at the hole. Open up both, and take your hand right here, Kellen, and put it right next to the periscope. If you do it right, you should be able to see me through your hand. Can you see me through your hand? Perfect, perfect, perfect. So those were optical illusions. And the point of an optical illusion is to trick your eyes into seeing things they're not really there. So in today's story of the gospel, there's a blind man who is really actually blind. And if you're blind, what can't you do? You can't see, can you? All right, so if you're blind, you can't see. And he was sitting on the corner by himself every day, and people noticed him enough in his lifetime to say, that's the blind man. And so one day when Jesus came across him, Jesus told him, take some mud, put on your eyeballs, and then go wash it off at the pool. And so he did. And he went from not being able to see anything to being able to see everything. Do you think he was happy that he could see? Do you think he was grateful that he could see? Perfect. Is that a good thing, what Jesus did? So when the people have heard this, there are several people who are mad at Jesus, and they were mad at the blind man. For no reason. For no reason. They had no good reason to be mad at him. And so, this takes place after the story. Jesus had heard that they threw the blind man out of the church. And Jesus found him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? The blind man said, who is he, sir? Tell me so that I can believe in him. Jesus said, you have seen him and are in fact speaking with the one who made you see. And the blind man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And so, this is very important to know, is because right now, there's a lot of people who are still blind to Jesus. We know Jesus, right? These people here in the sanctuary know Jesus, and the people listening on the radio, they know Jesus. We can all point to Jesus because we have a picture of him right over there, right? That's Jesus. However, there are some people, Kellen, who will look at that man and say, that's not Jesus. Jesus wasn't real. He was an old man. Jesus didn't live. And those people are like the Pharisees in that they're blind. So they're not blind here in their eyeballs, but they're blind here in their hearts. Even though Jesus performed a miracle, he healed other people, he rose people from the dead, he multiplied fish loaves and bread so he could feed thousands in the crowd, there are some people who will look at him and say, ah, you're not Jesus. We're waiting for somebody else. We're waiting for another person to save us. However, there's only one person who can save us and make us see. Who's that person? Jesus. Jesus is the only one. Jesus can give us sight. He can make our hearts feel a lot better. And most of all, when you are afraid, Jesus is the one who can calm you down. So I thank both of you for being here. You want to say a quick prayer before we go? All right, put your hands together. Dear Jesus, thank you for the gift of sight. Thank you for letting us see you, and thank you for letting us see your Father, your Heavenly Father, God Almighty. Amen. Thank you, thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of my favorite stories here in the gospel lesson today, and there's so many wonderful things in there. One of the main themes is light within this gospel lesson. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Light affects us in different ways. Many times we welcome light. If we go in a dark building, we want to turn on the light so that we can see. Light provides work for us when we are outside during the daytime. Otherwise, if we have to work at night, we have to carry some kind of light with us. Sometimes light is very inviting, such as maybe the warm glow of a campfire on a cool night, or the light streaming out of the stained glass windows of a church at night. Very warm and inviting. Other times we want to shun away from the light. Such as when your mom wakes you up to go to school, she flips that light switch and says, get up, get out of bed. What do we want to do? We want to throw those covers right back on our heads. Sometimes we just simply want to modify the light, such as when we are driving down the highway in the late afternoon or evening, we put our visor down. We don't want to look directly into that sun. Or on a sunny day, a lot of times, what do? We put on a hat and we put on our sunglasses. We would just want to modify that light. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Some of those
responded very well to that. They were welcoming to that light of Christ. Other people wanted to shun that light, to turn it off, to cancel it, to cover it up, to put it out. And then others simply wanted to modify that light. They were not ready to accept Jesus in all his glory. The story starts out that Jesus was walking with his disciples in the temple courtyard, and Jesus notices the man born blind. So do the disciples. It's amazing that they even noticed him. Again, this is talking about light and being able to see. Most of the time when we see people out on the street, we kind of ignore them. We gloss over them. We don't want to see them. But this man, they did see. Maybe there was some compassion in there. But they asked that question, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents that he was born blind? You see, they tied illness and disease to punishment from God. That God is punishing them with some kind of ailment because they did something wrong. And unfortunately, that may be what we hear from some people with this coronavirus. That this is God's punishment. He's blasting the world for such sin. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that we are susceptible to disease and to ailments and everything else because of the human condition. Because we have fallen from the grace of God, we are sinful creatures. And so thus we are susceptible to the evils in this world. We are susceptible to the diseases, the pain, and even death. But Jesus sees something different in this man born blind. The disciples weren't able to see it. What Jesus sees in this man born blind is that he is loved by God. That he is a person whom God created. And within that person is that light of God. And so Jesus shines his light so this man can see. As Nick mentioned in the children's sermon, not only with his eyes, but also with his heart as well then too. This man is able to see. Jesus heals this man. It's kind of interesting how he does it. There's a number of different ironies within this whole story, and that's why I think it's one of my favorite stories. There's ironies in here. If you think about it, Jesus spit in the dirt. He makes the mud, and what's he do? He covers the eyes in order to open the eyes. Kind of backwards it almost sounds. And there's a wonderful play on words right here in that gospel lesson then too. So after Jesus covers his eyes, he tells the man, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Now the play on words here is, Jesus sent the man to Siloam, and the Siloam actually means sent. So he sent the man to the pool named Sent, and it's called Siloam or Sent because the water has been sent there from a spring which is outside the city walls that goes through the tunnel of Hezekiah and is sent then into this pool. So Jesus has sent the man to the pool named Sent from water which has been sent. And later on in the gospel then, Jesus sends this man out to shine that light of Christ. It's also interesting in here then, the progression. This blind man is now able to see. He was blind, but now he is able to see. And it's evident within the story, and actually that his sight grows within this story. At first, when he's questioned about Jesus, he calls Jesus the man who was named Jesus. As he's questioned more, he says he is a prophet. As he's questioned even more, he says he is the one who is sent from God. And at the very end of the story, this man calls Jesus Lord and worships him. That light grows. That faith grows. Even when we are tested, Even when we go through trials, even when we are contested, our faith still can grow. We never know what's... We're kind of in the dark right now with what's going on here in the United States and within the world. This is all new to us. We're in the dark. But even in the midst of strange times, of new times, of hard times, of even disastrous times, God is still able to work. We are in the midst of Lent right now as well, too. And so our focus is upon that cross. And if you think about the devastation of what, what Jesus actually went through as he moved towards the cross and then as he suffered on that cross, how gruesome, how terrible that was, the injustice and all the things that went on with that. But God did his greatest work through that great tragedy. In the midst of all this that's going on here, we may be somewhat in the dark. This is new. We're stepping on new ground. But yet, still, we can look towards that light of Christ, who is the light of the world, and know that God is still present. He is still here among us. He sees us and where we are in our plight. And he will bring us through this. This blind man welcomes this light of Christ. His neighbors, not so much, and they take him then to the Pharisees. The Pharisees at first, they're in the dark. They're somewhat confused. This is new to them. How can, they're confused because Jesus, this took place on the Sabbath. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And making mud, molding it together and all that, is like making bread dough. And that is considered work, which you are not supposed to do on the Sabbath. And so Jesus, in their eyes, as they see it, is breaking the law. And so he is a sinner. And so they are confused. How can Jesus, a sinner, do something that comes from God? And so they're arguing amongst each other. And so they ask the man at this point then. And the man says, he's a prophet. He did it to me. He tells them the story and he says he's a prophet. But they do not believe. They don't want to believe. They are blind. And again, another irony within this story. Here you have the religious leaders, the one who are able, who are supposed to be the most able to see God, to see God's plan, to see what God has in store or action for the people. Here's the religious leaders. They are the ones who are supposed to have clear vision. And yet, they are the ones who are blind. And then, so the Pharisees are divided on this, or they're arguing amongst each other, or they can't understand it, they're confused. And so they pull in the parents. Just to get some clarity, to make sure that this is not some kind of hoax. And so they question the parents. And the parents say, yes, this is our son. But no, we don't know how he got healed. How he is able to see now. Ask him. The parents see what has happened. They can see that light of Christ, that light that has healed their son. And has given their son a wonderful gift. The son can now see what we take for granted. They see this light of Christ. But yet, they try to modify it. They put shades on their eyes. They put a hat over their head. They throw the covers over their face. They're not ready to commit. They're not ready to believe. A lot of times that's us too. We see what God can do in our lives. We see what God has done in our lives. We see what God has done in other people's lives. But yet we focus only on ourselves. And I think that's part of the problem in this crisis right now. We focus on ourselves. We have had mandates that have come out of the White House and the CDC and also the governor's office of this is how we should handle it. We need to stay away from each other. Do not go out unless it's absolutely necessary that you go out. We still want this country to run. We still want people to have services. But at the same time, do whatever you can to limit the spread of this virus. Some people say, there's nothing to this. I won't get it. And even if I do get it, I'm healthy. I'm not going to die from it. But again, too, an attitude like that is thinking only about me, of who I am. Personally, I don't want to get this disease, but I would feel even worse if I did get it and did not know that I had it and I passed it on to someone else. I don't want to be responsible for that. But people a lot of times are thinking only of themselves. What do they want? Well, I need to grab everything I can from the store, no matter if somebody else needs it. We think only of ourselves. Parents were thinking only of themselves. Because if they said, yes, this is our son, and Jesus healed him, Jesus is from God, Jesus is the light of the world, they would have been kicked out of the synagogue. They would have been shunned. Probably people would not have done business with him anymore. Their life would have changed drastically. They wanted to cling to what they knew. And so they put blinders on. They covered their eyes. With God's help, we can get through all of this. We simply turn our eyes to that light of the world. We let that light shine upon us. Once again, we are in the middle of Lent. It's also important to notice that last week we heard the story of the woman at the well and how she saw the light of the world, or that Jesus quenched their thirst with living water. Today we hear the story of this blind man, and people see that light of the world. Next week we hear the story of Jesus raising Lazarus out of the tomb, and all of this is growing closer to that passion of Christ going to that cross and raising once again from the dead. When Jesus did go to the cross, he was raised up. He was raised up. And again, an irony in all of this. He was raised up on a hill as a sign of punishment. That's the way the Roman government did it. They put their criminals, they hung them on the cross in the most visible place in that community so people could see, this is what we do to traitors. This is what we do to the worst of our criminals. In Jerusalem, they put him on top of the hill, and in many of the other cities around in the Roman Empire, they would put him in the main highways coming into town, so any travelers coming in would be reminded. They would see what they do. The irony for us is that we look at Jesus crucified as the light of the world, of what God is willing to do for us. God does not abandon us at any time. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our hymn for the day, Just As I Am. I believe it's hymn number 296. 296.
Thank you.
We continue with the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray together the offering prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer, that he would be merciful to his people. Heal the blindness of those who persecute followers of Jesus and all who turn a blind eye to their plight.
Grant that all who suffer on account of Christ may be so faith-filled and gracious that their tormentors turn to you for healing, forgiveness, and new life. Lord, in your mercy. Heal the blindness from which we, the members of this congregation, suffer. Give us new eyes to see Jesus in one another, and for his sake, to love even the person we don't yet like. Give us eyes to see new opportunities for serving you, for sharing our faith in you, and for making this church a lamp that shines with the light of Christ's love for everyone we encounter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let your healing, blessing, and grace rest upon the blind and deaf, and upon those with impaired or distorted senses of touch or taste, balance or movement. We often take for granted these gifts unless it happens to us. We can't imagine lacking them. Give them strength and courage. Sharpen the perception of their other senses. Surround them with people whose respect and encouragement leads them to greater faith in you, their light and their life. Lord, in your mercy. Heal the blindness of the nations and all who are in positions of authority. Give them eyes to seek your will and hearts and hands to do it. Give them eyes to see injustice, deceit, and cruelty, and the strength and courage to combat them. Make each of us into children of your light, living in faith towards you and with fervent love toward one another. Lord, in your mercy. As your dear Son healed the man born blind, we pray that he may also bring healing, light, hope, and renewed faith to everyone who suffers from any affliction. Especially, we lift up the needs of Janice Lang, Ellerine Doman, Loretta Gabby, Pastor Jan Unger, and the family of Nelda Winslet. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray for all those who are affected by the coronavirus, those who are sick and suffering, families who have lost loved ones, those who have lost their livelihood, those who live in fear and distress, and those who are on the front lines of helping to cure this disease and minister to those who are sick. Shine your light on them and us, that all may see and feel the warmth of your presence, comfort, and love. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, dear Father, for receiving into your greater light and into your eternal life everyone who died trusting in your promises. Deal mercifully with those shadowed by grief and loss. Bring us to that endless day in which we see your face in the company of all who have been redeemed by the merits of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give you a contrite heart. Amen. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. Amen. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. Amen. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 315.
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.